I know all of us need the Lord, there is no question, but some of you find yourself in a desperate moment in your life. And I just want to pause for a moment to give you a second to say, that's me, preacher. Would you pray for me? Just, would you raise your hand and put it right back down again? No invitation, just I'm there. Oh, thank you. Anybody else around the building? I need you, Lord, right this moment in my life. I want us to go back and grab that chorus again. With your eyes closed, your hearts bowed this morning, and make this your confession to the Lord. And I want to encourage you, and I never want to prompt your physical worship, never. That's between you and the Lord. But some of you might find yourself in a desperate moment, and sometimes we feel tied down with our physical bodies. But today, you just might want to raise your hands to the Lord with nobody looking around and say, Lord, I need you, as a sign of surrender. We can't even take this resolution we're about to take in a few moments without making this declaration. So I want to invite you to sing this again. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's sing this again. Let's make it our prayer.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Oh, I need you.
Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Prayer this morning. Lord, we need you. That is our prayer. Lord, thank you for being in this place with us this morning. We can't say that enough to you, that we need you in this hour. God, would you move in power and truth? You are here. There is no doubt about it. And I pray, Lord, we would hear the words from God. Lord, you would hide this sorry preacher behind the cross. Lord, this could be a defining moment in the lives of some men and women that are sitting in this building. They've been studying and preparing these last 8 Sundays. Father, talking about that courage and honor begins at home. And Lord, today will be a defining moment where they say yes to doing that which you have called them to do. Father, speak to us now, I pray, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you, praise team, praise band, for leading us. Oh, I love when we can worship unhindered this morning. If you have your Bibles, you turn to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. Verse number 1, I'm going to read a very familiar story, but one that's of great importance to us as we kind of draw to a conclusion this series. I get sad. Sometimes I'm ready to move on to the next thing, but sometimes, like this incredible, powerful subject, I hate to move on from because there's so much, probably more, that we could dive into. But time draws to a conclusion of our time in this series. And I want to try to put a frame around it, no pun intended, or actually a pun intended, and bring it to a place of conclusion this morning with our Resolution Sunday. And again, I want to mention to you one more time, if during our message or invitation time, or right before our resolution, I'm going to show a video clip right before our resolution, you say, I want to sign this resolution, but I didn't get it. You go grab Miss D, wave your hand one more time, Miss D, so people know where you are. We're here to my right, to your left, okay? And just knock Charlie Mack, and he'll move out of the way. And I love you, Charlie Mack. And we'll be glad to let you have that, or you can see her afterwards. We'll get that to you because we believe this is important, and I hope that you will take that opportunity to do that. Joshua chapter 4, an incredibly important moment in the life of the nation of Israel. They're about to cross over the Jordan River. I don't have time to give you the entire background. They've been traveling, wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. The moment has now come. God has said, it's time to cross over. And God does something very important that will really help us kind of get a grasp around why we're doing this Resolution Sunday, I believe. Before I get there, I wanted to just ask this question. Is anybody in the room ever forgetful? You ever forget anything? Okay, we often love to say it, so as we get older, we forget, but we can forget any time. We don't have to be old to forget. We can forget just about any time. We forget. My wife will call me. We used to live in Alabama. The pastorium was literally about 30 seconds from the church. And so she would call me and say, would you please bring this home? We left it at church. Would you grab this or grab that? I'd say, sure. It would be about 4:45. I'd leave at 5:15. I'd get in, walk in the door, and she'd say, did you? And before she got out, did you? I'd say, no, I forgot. And I'd turn back around. We get a grocery list, right? You get a grocery list. You write it down, post-it notes everywhere. You got two calendars. Back in the day, we got a Palm Pilot. We don't have those anymore. Now you got your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, your iMini, your iPad, whatever. You got it all. And we got all that stuff to remind us, right? Send ourselves reminders. I love it. Now I got an email that will remind me I have a meeting. Or send me an email. I love this one. One time I did it, and they sent me an email afterwards. You missed your appointment. Oh, that was very helpful. Thank you so much. We don't mean to forget, though. We really don't. A lot of us, we would say to ourselves, I don't mean to forget a particular event, a birthday, an anniversary, a significant milestone in our lives. But the problem is we get unfocused. We get distracted. We move on to something else bigger and better. Sometimes if we're not careful, we find ourselves, we really don't care. We are very apathetic. We know this to be true in school. Just take your kids back to school, and they go in school, and you have a child that's in third, fourth, fifth grade, and you find out that it's really true. You're not smarter than a fifth grader. You realize, man, I had the quadratic equation of what is that? And learning and reading text, and you don't remember. We forget. And how quickly in our own spiritual lives, we make a promise to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to do this. We learn something about the Lord, and we say, I'm, and we forget. How quickly we forget. Here's the good news, though, right off the bat, and sometimes we probably wish he would forget. God never forgets. Never. The only time God forgets, and this is great news, by the way, this is just for free this morning. The only time God forgets anything, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers which he swore to you. Doesn't forget those moments. What he does forget, good news. What is it, church? You know what it is. What does he forget? Your sins, your forgiven sins. Right? He says, I will cast them as far as the east is from the west, from the depths of the ocean to the highest point in the sky. I will remember your sins no more. This is an epic moment in the life of Joshua, an epic moment in the life of the nation of Israel. And I pray and believe that we're on the Jordan River for some of you this morning. This will be a defining moment in your life, one that you will look back, I pray, and you'll look back on that, and I hope you get this resolution framed and put it in your house. I hope it's something that your children learn and listen to and remember as well with you, that this was the day that I said my life was going to be different. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. I'm going to read a lengthy passage, so I'm going to let you remain seated. Verse number 1, here's what it says. Now it came about, when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, that they spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. Let me give you a brief moment, just a brief interlude to help you. They're crossing the Jordan River, just like in the crossing of the Red Sea. The Jordan River was at its flood stage. God had pushed the waters aside, and there the priests were standing with the Ark of the Covenant, and it was dry. And he says, pick 12 men, go grab these stones out of the middle of the Jordan River that was now dry. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, what did these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. And thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua according to the number of the sons of the tribes of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. And they are there to this day. Now skip down to verse 21, if you will. And he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God drawn up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he drawn it before it until we had crossed. Verse 24, key, don't miss this. So that, why, all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. That day they set up two sets of stones, memorial stones, a pile of stones, big markers, a spiritual marker in the life of a nation, in the life of each family, in the life of each individual. Here the Lord paints a very clear and compelling picture to give them a fresh reminder, because God knew that they would forget. He knew how quickly they would forget. In fact, he told them before they even got to the Jordan River to cross over, they would forget what God had told them. See, this is great news about God. God knows us. God knows what he has done and who we are called to be, and he knows that we'll forget. Lots of times in Deuteronomy, before they ever got to this point, God warned them. God warned about this. Listen to three different passages of Scripture. God warns them while they're still on this march towards the Jordan River. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20, 4 verse 9 says this. It says, only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and grandsons. Later in that chapter, verse 23 to 24, so watch yourselves that you do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, as if they didn't quite get it, he says it again. Then watch yourselves that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord by not keeping his commandments and his ordinance and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and you have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and that all that you have multiplies. By the way, God's multiplying our congregation. It's happening right here before us. Notice the warning. Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who has brought you from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions. Skipping down, further down as time runs out. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and strength of the Lord made this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them. God knows that we need spiritual markers in our lives. And this morning, for us, that will take the form of a piece of paper. And by the way, somebody made a great statement this morning. Well, I don't really feel like I can sign this paper because I won't live up to it. Can I give you a word from somebody this morning? David Dyke shared this with me, so a good word. What you're committing to do is simply found what you already committed to do in the Word of God. It's just putting it on a piece of paper. That's all it is. When you ask Christ into your heart, you committed to be a Christ follower, to be a godly man and husband and father and dad. You promised and committed to be a godly woman, wife, and mother. So when you sign this, are you always going to keep it? The answer is no. But to the best of our God-given abilities, relying on the Lord and making this our declaration, we need you, oh, we need you. Every hour we need you, our one defense, our righteousness, God's righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. We need these memorial stones on your outline this morning, these spiritual markers in our lives to help us remember. Now, these markers are not always just pieces of paper. They can come in other ways, by the way. They come in other forms. We find them in people, in certain places, in physical gestures, memories. We find them in God's Word, the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. They are spiritual markers to remind us of these moments. When I hear the name Dave Busby, a speaker, I'm reminded of my call to ministry. When I hear a particular song, I'm reminded of a moment, a marker in my life. I've got some things when you come into my house. Some of you have been to my house. They're coming in my house and in my office as well. I've got some markers of some countries I've been to overseas, because what I know is true, that you will forget when you go overseas sometimes and experience God in a unique way. You'll forget those moments. They don't become as fresh. And so I have things on display, not just because they're beautiful to me, but because they have spiritual significance in my life. It's why we have a wedding ring. It's why we have altars. There are points of spiritual markers. What are they for? They're for three things. Number one, they are a reminder for the past. These spiritual markers are a reminder of the past, of all the incredible things that God has done in your life and in mine up to this point. It is our heritage. It is our foundation, even of our own church. They are reminders of the past, people who have faithfully carried the torch before us. But be reminded, this is so important, be reminded though that this altar was not a place to be worshipped. God warned them, this is not, in fact, it becomes a place of difficulty later on in the nation of Israel's life, when the cause of great dissension, because they came and it looked like they were worshiping at this altar. And God says, don't worship at the altar of the past. Now we all like the past, don't we, in a lot of ways. The good old days, we call them. And the good old days for us is different for us, each of us. But if we're not careful, we worship at the past, our comfort level. Listen, my heart desires this. So God continues to bless you and I in our own lives, individually, in our families, and especially in our church. I pray that the breath of God's Spirit continues to move in this place. And I want you to know something. It isn't always easy for me, and we're experiencing in our own personal life in major earthquake kind of ways in our lives. But my prayer is this: we have to change and adapt in our spiritual eyes and how we reach this generation. When I was growing up, trunk or treat did not exist. Who in the world ever heard of getting candy out of the back of a vehicle? We went door to door in our neighborhood and got candy. Times have changed. That's why we do trunk or treat. I pray, dear church, though this church has a rich history and past, that we don't worship there and allow it to and keep us from being what God wants us to be in the future. These spiritual markers, though, are great reminders of the past. Secondly, they're a reminder, no shock, of the present. They're a reminder of what God is doing in our lives right now. And this is where we're called to live our lives, in the here and the now, not in the past or in the future. Not worrying about tomorrow, what happened yesterday, which is a tremendous challenge for all of us. And yet here, even at this moment, we must be careful not to only live in the present, but be reminded of where we've come from, at the same time keeping our eyes on where we're going. That's why we have a Vision 2020 team in our church. It's looking at where we are, where we've been, and where we believe God would be leading us to, and be prepared for that. Dear church, I want you to know we're preparing constantly to grow. I don't know about you, but I expect that God is going to bless our church. Not because we deserve it, just because God's going to do it. We're going to have to add more chairs. We're going to have more life groups. Did you know in life groups, by the way, we're using every ounce of every classroom, hallway, and closet we can use? Praise God. We were walking Chris and Andre around. I said, I see what I told you. We're using every square inch we have. We're going to have to launch some more new groups in 2014. We're going to have to come out here in the sanctuary, buy some more portable walls so we can make room and make space. Listen, God is doing some extraordinary things. They're reminders of the present. But we got to be prepared for where we're going in the future. We can't just always live in the here and now, though that is our immediate call. We have to be reminded of what lies ahead. Notice the third thing, they're reminders of the future. That God will not forget His promises, that He will remember His covenant with His people. It reminds us the future, reminds us of who's in control, and that we're not in charge. Now, I hate that part a lot of times because I like to be in charge. That's funny. You can laugh. That's true. Some people made that statement where we were. Maybe it was with Chris or somebody that I like to be in charge. I do. God wired me that way. My mama said I came out of the womb being an adult. Bossing people around, all except my dad. The future. We can't live in the future, because sometimes we live in the future, too often we forget where we are now, and we forget the past. You see, here's the deal about these three. We need balance in all three. We need to be consistently reminded of what God saved us from, what God has done in our lives in the past, how He's proved Himself true. We need balance to live in the present, the here and now of what God has called us to do right here, right now, in the moment where we are. With an eye to the future of what it is God is going to call us to do. I'm remembering the others. These spiritual markers remind us of five things very quickly. Number one, they remind us of God's power. God's power. Don't you think when those Israelites crossed back and looked at those stones, they were reminded of the Jordan River and God's power? And by the way, some would ask, Brad, do you really believe that God did that kind of a miracle? And can I say unequivocally, yes. God parted not a creek, a river. A leaf river, bigger than that, overflowing. You imagine a leaf river when you've seen it driven over and it's swollen and it's very over its banks. That's where the Jordan River was when they crossed it. How did God do that? I have no idea. I don't know if He got His hands and pushing this way, if God just breathed His breath or God just snapped His finger and says, waters. God did it. Folks, our God is a powerful, awesome God. Well, preacher, I'd sign that resolution, but I can't do it. Good news, it's not about what you can do. It's about God's power in you. Secondly, notice this, about God's provision. God will provide all that we need. Sometimes we panic. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Can I give a word of testimony? God, what are we going to do? I still don't know. But you know what I'm convinced of? And I know it. We don't doubt it. Our God will provide what we need when we need it. He won't give it a minute before I need it, and He won't be a minute late with it. I don't know where you are in your life. Some of you raise your hand and say, God, I need God right now. Listen to you. God will provide for you. God is never late. God never forgets. Thirdly, notice it reminds us of God's protection. I'll give you these last three. God's presence and God's purpose and His plan. God, these are reminders of what God's protected us from. It reminds us of God's daily presence in our lives. Remind us of God's purpose and God's plan. And you noticed very quickly in verse 6 and 7, God says to them, I want you to put these stones here so when your children ask you, what does this mean? Can I give you a word, moms and dads, men and women? I hope that your children, or for you single adults, your friends or your nieces and nephews, listen, I hope that they ask you when you get home, Mom and Dad, why did you sign that piece of paper? What does that mean? I hope that 3 years from now, because they'll forget, they'll look back on that wall and where you frame it and put it on the wall and they say, what is that there for? It'll be a reminder when you go to discipline your children. I'm going to put it somewhere near my children's room so I'm on the way to let it rip. I'm reminded of what I committed to. I want to put one in my office to remind me. I want to have them everywhere. I want to be reminded of what I'm committing to. God's presence, God's purpose and plan. He says, I want your children to be reminded of what God has done. Three kinds of stones I want to ask you to think about this morning, and then we're through this morning. Three kinds of stones. Number one, there's private memorial stones. Some of you privately need to put down a spiritual marker in your life today. And for some of you this morning, it is for you to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never put down the spiritual marker, the most important one you'll ever put down in your life. And today you can do that by admitting you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you of all of your sins. Believe that He is the Son of God. Confess Him as Savior. Commit your life to Him as Lord. For others of you, it's not that. It's something in your life personally. And you need to put down a spiritual marker. It might be the resolution. It might be something else entirely unrelated. But you need to put down a private memorial stone. Secondly, a family memorial stone. It has to do with this resolution as well. You're making a commitment for your family. Grandparents, I want to encourage you, sign this thing. You can make a resolution that you show your grandparents, your grandchildren, what you've committed to do to help them. Committing to build a spiritual foundation in your home. Not leaving it up to the church or anybody else, but you're saying, I'm taking primary responsibility for raising my children in the spiritual realm. Thirdly, a corporate memorial stone. You remember the very first Sunday that I was here? It was May the 13th, 2012. You might remember what we handed out that day. You might remember a brick. You might remember the significance of that brick, right? Hand me another brick, the idea of building bricks. Why would we give you that? I want it to be a memorial. Now, can I be honest with you for just a quick moment? Our time runs short. I said, God's going to do miraculous, wonderful things. God's going to build, and I believed he would. But can I tell you, when I was standing here, I never envisioned looking at you 16 months later and seeing what God has done. Never in my wildest imagination. I had little faith. I knew it would happen. I believed God would do it eventually. Maybe. I don't know. I go back and look at that brick. I just simply go, wow. Church family, our community needs to see people, families, living and fleshing out the gospel in their everyday lives. On the ball field, at work, in your neighborhood, how you treat your spouse. They need to see it. And I wonder, would you be willing to put down that marker today? Let's be courageous. Listen carefully.
As a law enforcement officer, I've seen firsthand the deep hurt and devastation that fatherlessness brings in a child's life. Our prisons are full of men and women who have lived recklessly after being abandoned by their fathers, wounded by the men who should have loved them the most. Many of these children now follow the same pattern of irresponsibility that their fathers did. While so many mothers have sacrificed to help their children survive, they were never intended to carry the weight alone. We thank God for them. But research is proving that a child also desperately needs a daddy. There's no way around this fact. As you know, earlier this year, my family endured the tragic loss of our 9-year-old daughter, Emily. Her death forced me to realize that not only had I not taken advantage of the priceless time I had with her, but that I did not truly understand how crucial my role was as a father to her and our son Dylan. Since her passing, I've asked God to show me through his word how to be the father that I need to be. I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. The father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect, and should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you, and to say, I will. I will. I will.
Powerful moment. I wonder, men, if you will boldly, with resolve, though with great humility, say, I will take that pledge. Ladies, we're going to ask you in just a moment to follow suit. I don't have the words on the screen. We didn't take time to do that, so I apologize for that. But those of you who have them in your hands, and if you still want to take it, you don't have it in your hands this morning, then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me and make this vow. Men, I invite you to stand before your families and say, I'm ready to take this resolution. I'm going to say I, and then put your name there. So it'll be I, Brad Eubank, and you put your name. I, Brad Eubank, do solemn resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, and serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her, as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, to be faithful to His church, to obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. Thank you. You may be seated. Ladies, if you have that same desire, our men, we want you to lead out. That is the clear call from this study, from this series. But ladies, you have a part to play as well. I invite you to rise and stand and repeat after me. I, and then fill in your name, do solemn resolve before God to embrace my current season of life and live with a spirit of contentment. I will champion God's model for womanhood and teach it to my children. I will celebrate my God-given uniqueness and the distinctions He has placed in others. I will live as a woman answerable to God and faithfully committed to His Word. I will seek to devote the best of myself to the primary roles God has entrusted to me. I will be quick to listen, slow to speak, and esteem others more highly than myself. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will not tolerate evil influences in myself or my home, but will embrace a life of purity. I will pursue justice and love mercy and extend compassion towards others. I will be faithful to my husband and honor him in my conduct and in my conversation, and will aspire to be a suitable partner to help him reach his God-given potential. I will teach my children to love God, to respect authority and live responsibly. I will cultivate a peaceful home where God's presence is sensed. I will make today's decisions with tomorrow's impact in mind and consider my current choices in light of future generations. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. Thank you, ladies. You may be seated. I want to encourage you, what you've just taken before God, before me, before your family and friends, that you will sign that resolution. And if you have children, I want you to encourage them to let them sign as witnesses. If you don't, let your grandchildren sign it. If you don't have children, then let a friend sign it, that this is your resolution before God. Father, I thank you for this holy and sacred moment. And I pray that it is just that. Lord, we have solemnly resolved before you to embrace all that we have learned these last 2 months together. And Lord, that we will continue to learn to be men and women of resolution, that our lives will never be the same from this point forward. God, I pray for this time of invitation where we would put feet to what you've done in our hearts privately, we would do publicly. For some, that is to come to trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I pray they would have the courage to do that. For others, it is to come to this altar and say, God, I need you. I'm struggling. My marriage is struggling. I'm struggling with my children. I'm struggling with the situation in my home, my job, in my workplace, something, Lord, I'm struggling. I have a lost friend I want to invite next Sunday, but I'm so scared, but I know they need me to do it. And you'd come to this altar and say, oh, God, give me the courage to set down that memorial stone in your life this morning. Make this altar a place of commitment. Maybe, men, you want to grab your wives and children and say, you know what, the first step for me is to grab my children and my wife and say, you know what, hey, we're going to make this a memorial stone right here at this altar today. Maybe you need to come and join this church family to lay down a spiritual mark in your life and say, this is where God has called us to be. Father, I pray whatever it is you're calling us to do, that we would not miss the moment. We would be men and women of courage, of resolution to do that which you are calling us to do now and as we walk out these doors in a few moments. Father, may we move as we sing to you, Lord, with all of our hearts, I surrender all. Move now, I pray, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship together. I surrender all. Would you come? Charles and I at the front to receive this. Altar's open. You come right now. Let's sing together.
All to Jesus I surrender all.